There are two things I need most when dealing with change: facts and a timeline. First, I need to separate the truth from the opinion so I can determine what about the change deserves my attention and what can be set aside. Like a story problem in math, there are always extraneous bits of information that are more distracting than helpful in finding the solution. And second, a timeline is needed to get a sense of how long this change is going to take. How much energy will I need? When will we be at the halfway point? How will I know when the change is done? Now, this approach has generally worked well for me several times in my life: buying a house, starting a new job, and navigating parenthood. I tend to see change like a jigsaw puzzle that needs to be put together. The box tells you the number of pieces and gives you a visual of what the after will look like when you're done. And yet, this pandemic has been like a garage sale puzzle with the cover missing and pieces from five other puzzles mixed in. I had a hard time separating fact from fiction. It was difficult to know what sources to trust with a multitude of outlets to gather information from. Some said this was all much ado over nothing, and others portrayed it like life would never be the same again. I wanted to believe the things that told me everything was going to be okay, but I knew that the more we learned, the more serious things became. The timeline aspect was tricky as well. That kept changing based upon dozens of other factors. For a long time, not having an end in sight was really draining for me. When would the vaccine be available? Would these restrictions continue forever? I remember back in April of last year, when reality sank in, there was this push for everyone to become home bakers and bedroom redecorators. "It's a great time to reinvent yourself," the headlines cheerfully yelled at me. And yet, my ukulele sat unpracticed. I made exactly one loaf of bread and opened zero cans of house paint. In some ways, it feels like the only thing that really flourished for me during 2020 was my hair. As the months went on, I realized that there was a third thing I needed when dealing with change, especially a change of this magnitude. I needed other people. Too often, I get stuck in my head that I'm the one responsible for fixing or ignoring my problems, and that self-sufficiency is the most admirable trait. Yeah, COVID threw that theory directly into the used mask-filled dumpster. In spite of staying physically distanced from others, I still had many ways to get and stay connected. I called and emailed family members. I texted and FaceTimed with friends. I walked outside and had deep conversations with others and learned of their strategies for making this all a little less awful. What facts they had learned and what timelines they were operating under. No one person had all the answers, of course, but I could pick and choose and piece together strategies that worked for me. Learning how others approached this change was really valuable. Even setting the pandemic aside, it feels like we're also in the midst of enormous social change. We must listen to those who have not been given a voice. There are so many stories that need to be heard. It can be uncomfortable as we learn of the things we've been wrong about and need to do better. Facts and timelines will continue to change the more we learn and the more we listen. But none of that work can truly be done alone. We can't be self-reliant on finding the way through change of this magnitude. It's like that old adage: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And let's face it, puzzles are way more fun to put together when other people are helping you.
Thank you so much, Brian, for your thoughtful and wise reflection. As a child, I was afraid of wind. Wind. If I'm honest, I don't know exactly where this fear came from. My memory traces it back to a time when my brother was watching the movie Twister on our family television. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but however it started, This was a fear that lasted with me all through elementary school and into middle school. I can vividly remember laying in my bed at night, listening to the rustle of the branches on the tree outside our house, worrying that the wind was going to be strong enough to topple the tree onto our house through my bedroom ceiling, where it would crush me in my sleep. I remember playing on the playground at recess and freezing in place when I noticed the beginning of a breeze. It's something that always took me out of whatever game I was playing and put me on my guard, at least a little. Luckily, this isn't a fear that I've carried with me into adulthood, but I do find myself still uneasy on boats and airplanes, because without the assurance of solid ground, I feel much more susceptible to the whims of the wind. In my defense, just think about it. Wind is such a simple example of something so out of our control, something unstoppable that can knock things off balance. Wind does all those important things that we don't always notice, like spreading seeds and pollen, transporting heat and moisture, filling and pushing sails, blowing a cool breeze on a hot day. And yet, sometimes, wind can also bring some mayhem and destruction. It is no wonder that for the longest time, wind has been used as a popular metaphor for change. We've heard the phrase winds of change mentioned in songs, in poetry. We've seen the iconic nanny, Mary Poppins, use the winds to signal that it was time for her to leave, a change that was sad for the Banks family. Change is so often out of our control. Something unstoppable that can knock everything off balance. Change does all those important things that we don't always notice, spreading seeds of joy, filling and pushing sails toward justice, blowing a cool breeze of hope on a hard day. And yet, change can also bring mayhem and heartache, right? It's no wonder that just like my childhood discomfort with wind, I've also carried with me a deep discomfort with change, if I'm honest. And boy, have these past 14 months certainly highlighted that mayhem and heartache side of change, right? I mean, when the pandemic hit, our entire planet faced huge gusts of change that knocked everything off balance over and over again. For most of us, our daily lives changed. Our interactions changed. Our nervous system even changed in the ways that our bodies reacted to stuff that we wouldn't have thought twice about before. The people we were in 2019 would likely have a hard time recognizing what our lives have been like this past year. And all this change, plus the grief and trauma of a global pandemic, well, it's certainly taken its toll on all of us in so many different ways. We've talked for more than a year about how great it will be when things return to some sense of normalcy, right? We have longed for the days when we can gather together safely, when we can attend concerts and other big events, when we can sing songs together inside our beautiful fellowship sanctuary, when we can sit inside a restaurant mask-free without any hesitation or second guessing. Just saying it now sounds so luxurious. And among many in our fellowship community, there is one sentence in particular that I have heard shared over and over again this past year. I can't wait to hug you. This spring, many of us who have been fortunate enough to be vaccinated have been able to venture a little outside our bubbles of COVID restrictions. And it has been exciting, right? And also, after a year of adjusting to new routines and new ways of moving about the world, opening things back up and lifting restrictions does bring along more change. Joyful changes, to be sure, but also just the general stress of dealing with change. I so loved how Brian talked about working through change as assembling a jigsaw puzzle. During these past few months, it may have felt like we were finally understanding how the pieces of our new pandemic lives were fitting together in the puzzle. We may not have liked it, but at least we've had some time to figure out some order amid the chaos. Some new routines, some ways to cope, some understanding of how to interact with others during this time. And now, with many restrictions being lifted and the prospect of an end to the pandemic on the horizon, a new wind of change comes and upends the puzzle, scattering all the pieces everywhere once again, disorienting us once again. Once again, we have to work to understand how the pieces of our lives fit together in this changing world. This past week, the CDC shared some big news. After months and months of caution, the CDC is now changing their recommendation, sharing that they believe it is safe for those who are vaccinated to gather indoors and even to leave their masks at home in many situations. For more information on this, you can go ahead and visit the CDC website. This is the news that many of us have been waiting for, right? Perhaps you are someone who is vaccinated and you heard this news with nothing but jubilation and eager excitement. Perhaps you exist in a body that is still vulnerable and you heard this news feeling like an outsider, with worry and fear of being left behind. Perhaps you're someone like me, and the news didn't quite hit the way you expected. If you're like me, you read it, you were confused a little, so you reread it, and then took a big breath, bracing yourself with what feels like an overwhelming question. Okay, what does this mean? Playing in your head the many different situations you may find yourself in on a daily basis. Asking yourself, what is it appropriate to expect now? What does this mean for loved ones who are still vulnerable? What is it that I personally feel comfortable doing now? What can I expect others to want from me now? How do I move forward at work or in social situations? What does that look like? There was a great Saturday Night Live sketch last week that showed people at a party struggling to figure out how to interact with each other after the pandemic was over. It featured awkward dead-end conversations where one person asked the other person, which shot did you get? And they said Moderna, and then the other person was like, cool. It featured one guy chatting with someone else, and all he could think to say was, it's such a crazy time right now. I think he may have said it like 5 times in the conversation. Or one person who went in for a hug while the other person was visibly uncomfortable, and so she sticks her elbow out instead. So the hugger just ends up kind of holding her elbow in his hands. The sketch did a great job of poking fun at some of the discomfort and uncertainty and awkwardness that comes with figuring out how to move forward in this new phase of pandemic life. Life changed. It changed us. And now we are navigating new and different changes, all the while still getting used to those changes that have happened in us. I feel so grateful for our readings this morning that offer some valuable perspective on change, perspective that we can learn from and ground ourselves in. In fact, I like to imagine these two readings in conversation with each other. The science fiction writer Octavia Butler, a Black American baby boomer, sharing the theology of a teenage girl protagonist in her dystopian novel, Parable of the Sower. And then the Ecuadorian American millennial poet, Young Pueblo, who is sharing his own personal musings through an internet newsletter. Reading these pieces together, I like to pretend Octavia Butler and Young Pueblo are talking directly to each other, responding to each other, elaborating on each other's points, even though they write almost 30 years apart. She says, all that you touch, you change. He says, this pervasive ephemeral quality is everywhere, impacting reality whether we are aware of it or not. She says, all that you change changes you. He says, our very lives are the product of change. She says, the only lasting truth is change. He says, instead of passively hating change, we are better off trying to understand it. She says, God is change. He nods his head in agreement, saying, change may take things away, but it is also the great giver that fills us with happiness and wisdom. Change is complex, isn't it? It is messy, it is beautiful, it is devastating, it is exciting. Change leads us to celebration, and change calls us into grief. And it is always there, always moving around us and within us. An unstoppable wind blowing the puzzle pieces all around. I just love this idea that God is change. Whether or not that jives with your conception of God, whether or not you are even someone who uses the word God, I invite us to play around with this idea a bit. This idea that change is so big and sacred and unstoppable and all-encompassing and all-permeating and divine, that there is no way that that is not what God is. Young Pueblo himself says it, change may take things away, but it is also the great giver that fills us with happiness and wisdom. It's not unlike the Greek word pneuma, a word used in the Christian Bible that has been translated as both wind and spirit. It is not unlike the Buddhist understanding of impermanence that tells us that everything is constantly arising and falling away. Arising and falling away. And so, if change is God, or if this sacred lasting truth that is constantly shaping all of existence, if that is change, then these times of great change that we are moving through in our world are unique opportunities to intimately know that which is sacred and holy and divine. To intimately know it by navigating the changes that have been happening within ourselves and each other, as well as those taking place all around us. Navigating and sitting with these changes with deep intention and care. As a fellowship community, we are facing many opportunities to do this sacred work together in the coming months. If you are on our email list, you received an email this past week sharing our current fellowship phased reopening plan, thoughtfully designed by our executive team and our COVID Safer Reopening Task Force, a group of experienced medical professionals here in our own fellowship community. Now, this reopening plan may change and change again. And I, for one, feel so grateful to be a part of a faith community that is being guided through the coming months by our values and by science. For those of us who are local and feel eager to regather and hug right away, this sacred work of navigating change will likely take some patience, some understanding, some adapting. For those of us feeling more hesitant or nervous or unsure, the sacred work of navigating change will likely take some deep reflection and self-compassion and tenderness. For all of us, it will take some trust, some presence, some care, some gentleness, some loving awareness of the fact that this past year has changed us, some willingness to be a bit groundless together and to see what we create from that groundlessness. In the coming months, the winds of change are also blowing some staffing changes our way. Reverend Leah's upcoming move is certainly a joyful one for her and her family. And yet I know for many of us, it feels like this change will be leaving a big hole in our congregation. Still, we are called to the sacred work of intimately experiencing this change, sitting with it. For all of us, this change will take some grieving, some loving awareness of the fact that Reverend Leah has changed us in important ways, some trust that she has sown into the fabric of this congregation, regardless of where her beautiful ministry takes her, some willingness to to be a bit groundless together and to see what we create from that groundlessness. It is sacred work, and it is not achievable alone. So as these winds whip around us, may we hold each other with care. May we look to each other to help keep us steady. And may we let these winds draw us closer together as we soak in that divine constant that is change. May it be so. Amen.